Hear the word of the Lord from Psalm 118. Out of my distress I cried to the Lord, and the Lord answered by setting me free. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. I shall not die, I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. In Christ, God answers us and sets us free. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
Amen, choir. This is the time in our worship service that we share together in joys and concerns of our community together. A couple of joys to start us off with. Rebecca, the niece of Heather and David Spader, is out of the hospital from her bone marrow transplant and doing amazingly well. So please continue to keep her in prayer as she goes back and forth to the clinic in these days, but we praise God for that. And we also received word this week that Evan Daniel Duckett was born to Echo and Brendan on March 23rd. So the congregation far off continues to expand as well. Are there other joys and concerns this morning?
Rich Evans was supposed to have part of his esophagus removed 6 months ago, but an automobile accident and a heart attack slowed things down. He finally had it removed on Friday, and as of yesterday, seems to be making it.
Good. Great. Amen. Others? Oh. Heidi. There we go.
I would like to ask to have my friend Linda kept in your prayer. She was unexpectedly let go from her job this week and got married on Friday, but her soon-to-be, her husband now is having his open heart surgery on April 20th, so just a lot of added stress in their life.
And their names again?
Linda and Adam, prayers for them in all of this stress.
Hi, this is the last Sunday we can sign up for flowers if anybody wishes to. Joanne and I will be available.
Prayers for lots of flowers Easter morning.
I'm gonna have a new baby now.
Okay, that was pretty much what we were gonna say. So, Gina and I and Leah and Sophie are very happy to announce that Gina is expecting again, and she's due in October, so we're very thankful for this joy. It was not planned, so we're asking for prayers, and we're very happy to share this joy with everybody here. Thank you.
And we are very happy to share this joy with you, too.
One joy to share is that it's my wife's birthday tomorrow. Aww. Happy birthday. Ooh. Yes. And the other is some prayers for my friend Barbara, who's 70. She found out a few months ago that she has colon cancer. She's got a very positive outlook. Just the only problem is that, an additional problem is that she fell the other day and she broke some ribs and broke her tibia. She'll be laid up for a while on top of facing chemo and other therapy when the time comes. And also prayers for my friend's dad, Jose, who we prayed for within the past year. He's in his early 60s, and he had cancer in the bile duct of his liver and thought it was a complete healing when they checked it one of the times when he had tests done and thought he was totally healed and then found out that the cancer had came back. Mm. A few months ago, as I found out, and he's been in and out of the hospital and been kind of depressed, and he is doing better with chemo. So we hope that that continues to progress and he gets healed. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Bess, and prayers for Jose and Barbara.
There we go.
Thank you for those powerful Presbyterian prayers. I'm free to go roaming around. Thank you so much. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you.
Prayers and thanksgiving that Helen is now again on the loose with us.
Continued prayers for Walter and Junior.
Okay. Prayers for Walter and Junior. All right.
Hi, I just wanted to thank everyone for all the wonderful prayers that they have made month after month to help me with my sickness. It's obviously helped a lot. I'm going to be selfish, and I'm going to ask for even more prayers. Thank you. Your graciousness is so appreciated. I can't even tell you.
It is quite the joy to see Terry and Nicholas in worship with us this morning.
I just want to say welcome to my parents, the first time in this church. And we want to pray for my sister-in-law. Her mom, she's stuck in Syria. And she's waiting for the visa to come here. And thank you.
We are praying. We are praying in thanksgiving for the baptism today. Welcome to Matham's parents, and also continued prayers for those that are waiting in Syria. And we've been praying for months and weeks on that.
Grandmother and Pop are visiting.
All right.
Yeah, we have a joy. My parents are here.
So. Great. Wonderful. Welcome. Welcome.
Just to thank God, Wednesday will be my birthday.
Ah, Wednesday, Vivian's birthday. Good birthdays this week.
Prayers for Bernard, my niece's son, who's recovering from the surgery quite well, but he's still on oxygen, so we need prayers for him.
Okay, prayers for Bernard.
And we just finished up TNT until October, and I'd just like to say what a joy it is to be part of this congregation, to be able to go to TNT, to learn and be part of a group, and then go to house group and be with totally different people and learn and share. And, you know, everybody who makes that stuff happen, it just, it means so much.
Continued prayers for the community.
I would ask, please, for prayers for my sister-in-law, Diane, who was recently diagnosed with breast cancer. She had a surgery on Monday that went very well. They're extremely optimistic. She's going to have some radiation therapy. But she had her surgery on Monday, and she was at her kids' hockey game on Friday night.
Wonderful. Prayers for Diane as she recuperates and recovers from this cancer diagnosis.
A lot to pray for this morning. Let's get to it. Will you join me in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Jesus, Son of David, you entered Jerusalem with a triumphal procession, which eventually left you alone and humiliated on the cross. We thank and praise you for your selfless sacrifice. We thank and praise you for the redemption of all creation. We thank and praise you for those who offer their lives even today in Christ-like service around the world. O Lord, we pray for your work this day as it continues in our community. We pray for our church as we seek to follow our call to live life together, to worship and praise, to learn and grow, and to witness to your great love. Lord, the cries of Hosanna, which turned to calls for crucifixion, were not just long ago, but also exist in the complexities of our hearts. We confess that sometimes we too refuse to recognize you as King. The effects of sin continue to be felt in our lives, and we pray that you would bring us along your way, softly, slowly, compassionately, as we seek to grow towards who you mean us to be, bumbling and stumbling along the way. We pray this day for our world and its nations and peoples. We especially pray for Syria today, for the terror that is felt there, especially for Matham's sister-in-law, who even now awaits a visa out of that country. We pray for civilians under fire. We pray for soldiers under arms. We pray for your peace that passes understanding. O Lord, we pray for our nation and our president and our leaders, those who are called in these difficult times to make hard decisions, for our city and our community and our schools, for the church universal and for this congregation, even the needs that have been lifted up today. We pray for Rich Evans continuing to recover from surgery, for Barbara and Jose, Walter and Junior. We pray for baby Bernard. Pray for Diane, recovering from her surgery. Oh Lord, we lift up to you Rebecca, who has come home from a bone marrow transplant. We seek that her life may again turn to flourishing and all that you have in store for her. We give you thanks at the joy of having Terry and Nicholas back with us this morning, for the Harrison grandparents visiting, for Helen returned with vigor and humor, for the Wadia family here to celebrate this day, a life mark in the baptism of their daughter. We pray for that whole family as we welcome them and celebrate together. O Lord, from these life moments, we pray for birthdays that which we mark out, for Bess and for Vivian. We give you thanks for the birth of Evan to Echo and Brendan. O Lord, in the unexpectedness of life, you give us unexpected joy. We pray for the Bay family this day at the announcement of this third child and blessing that you have for them. We pray for them in the months ahead. O Lord, we do remember this day, Linda and Adam, with so much going on in their lives. Help us never to forget the suffering and needs that we see in relationships, in our families and friends, and in our community. Help us ever to lift up prayers for others with those powerful words of encouragement and love. Help us to be transformed as well as your people, even as we are called together again and again towards faith and hope and love. Pray for our congregation in a time of transition, as new leaders emerge, as your way becomes clear. Pray for my family, for Lisa and Abigail. Pray for the Foster family for strength as they support Pastor Chris. Pray and that you would bind us all together in one heart and mind as we enter this Holy Week time, O God. Pregnant with possibility, full of activity. Help us to center again on you, O God, and your Son Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The children are invited forward at this time, especially those who will be singing. Gina. Children are invited forward. Children are released to their classes at this time to continue learning about Jesus downstairs.
The Old Testament lesson this morning is from Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 through 10. And you will find it in your pew Bibles, the ones in the pews, on page 833 in the large print Bible on 1081.
Okay. So the Old Testament lesson today is from Zechariah verses 9 through 10. It is projected on the screen. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion, shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on the donkey, on the colt and foal of the donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the end of the earth. The New Testament lesson is from John 12, verses 12 to 19. It is also projected on the screen. Okay, the next day the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Jesus found the young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on the donkey's coat. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him that he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to festify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, You see, you can do nothing. Look, the word has gone after him. This is the word of the Lord.
Just how many different ways this morning can we bring Jesus into Jerusalem? Riding on a donkey, spreading palm branches to welcome him. Today we explore John's gospel version, because this is a story that you find in all four gospels, though perhaps less familiarly in John. Because John has something of a different perspective than the other gospels, a shorter, crisper version, good for a Sunday when we will be celebrating both baptism and communion. True reminders of Christ's continuing grace in our life together, these sacraments. Will you pray with me? As we enter into this most holy week, expecting and yearning to meet you anew, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Particularly in John's gospel account of Palm Sunday, we see a joyous celebration of the amazing power and presence of Jesus, as seen most recently the chapter before in the raising of Lazarus from the dead. It is a story that is only found in John's gospel. And we hear over and over again leading up to this scene of Palm Sunday that the crowds are beginning to follow Jesus more and more. They want to see more of these miracles, more signs of healing and transforming power that they have experienced already in following Jesus most recently in the raising of Lazarus. The people who followed Jesus after this healing, after this bringing Lazarus forth from the dead, found someone that they wanted to listen to, someone who brought new life out of death. Here was one who healed rather than destroyed. Here was one who celebrated the abundance of life rather than its scarcity. And they wanted this kind of king. They came to Jerusalem to celebrate this on the eve of Passover and to welcome with their whole being this new kind of rule. Jesus enters Jerusalem to cries of Hosanna, literally, save now. Yet Jesus comes in humility, not on his high horse as one might expect him to, not the conquering horse of those kings that were victorious in battle, but on a donkey, fulfilling the prophecy of the Old Testament. Jesus tries to tell his disciples and the crowds that the kingdom that he brings is not exactly like what they expect. As he will tell Pilate later in the week, "My kingdom is not from this world. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth, to be the truth." This new truth that is related in a relationship to Jesus Christ is at the heart of Palm Sunday. It is, what a former colleague reminded us often, a peace that the world does not give and a peace that the world cannot take away. Deep within, yet also calling forth discipleship and deeper trust in God through Christ. Jesus' new kingdom is not of this world. And we know, as we live in this world and as we pray for this world, that this kingdom is not fully realized. And that's a challenge for us, as we see signs of a broken world and relationships all around us. Yet into that kingdom of the now and the not yet today, we are invited to celebrate this king, to see him as the crowds see him, as the person of miracles coming into glory. And we in this church have certainly seen our share of miracles, haven't we, in recent years? We celebrate today such a miracle in the baptism of little Miriam. Born into the community of this church shortly after the Wadia family arrived to the United States from Iraq, born with significant health issues to overcome, surrounded by the care and the love of this new community here,
with the challenges to negotiate the American healthcare system and to experience great healing in her body. In Boston, no less, not even in Providence. Signs after signs of grace and present hope and love and prayer, the kind of healing that we celebrate in this message of Jesus, this miracle. And it is so tempting to move from the celebration of miracle and this amazing power to move just straight on to Easter, isn't it? So tempting and also so difficult in this society to do otherwise. In fact, many churches these days are not just celebrating Palm Sunday, but they're trying to put all of the Passion Week into Palm Sunday as well to try to get people to have some experience of what lies between Palm Sunday celebration and Easter. The journey of Holy Week reminds us that the path of Easter resurrection leads through the cross, leads through hard times, difficult world places of pain, places where Jesus himself walked this earthly walk and walks with us still. Holy Week invites us into a time of bringing forth all of those emotions and the power of being with Jesus in those last days. One Lent, the congregation I was serving read together Dietrich Bonhoeffer's Meditations on the Cross, and Bonhoeffer, who was certainly no stranger to struggle and suffering, wrote this: "We have to live in the world, but this is just what we do recognize. We live in the world before God. God himself compels us to recognize it. So our coming of age leads us to a true recognition of our situation before God. God would have us to know that we must live as those who manage our lives without him," Bonhoeffer writes. "The God who is with us is the God who forsakes us. Before God and with God, we live without God. God lets himself be pushed out of the world onto the cross, weak and powerless in the world, and that is precisely the way in which he is with us and helps us." Matthew 8:17, according to Bonhoeffer, makes it quite clear that Christ helps us not by virtue of his omnipotence, of all the power and miracle, but by virtue of his weakness and suffering, and calls us deeper into relationships of prayer and presence with our Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Week invites us to reflect on that in a world that has forgotten all about Holy Week, to enter fully into the experience of those disciples gathering with Jesus for final teachings, gathering at the table, challenged to stay awake in prayer as Jesus prays in the garden, and eventually walking with him, or not, on the path to the cross. I encourage you to try to take some time in this week, somehow, for that kind of reflection, to not just jump from the excitement of Palm Sunday to the Easter egg hunt on Saturday and to Easter, but to take some time to experience the emotions that were there in that final week, the emotions that were there and invite us to turn deeper to Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's not easy to do in the world in which we live, I know. For the first time ever, I have a child who does not have Good Friday off from school. But I know for many years, many of you have had to work on Good Friday. It's one of the reasons we're posting those reflection meditations on the website this week, so that you may find time in your time to enter into this Holy Week. But we know how it all ends, don't we?
We're not like those first disciples that were there that first week, that first holy week, walking through the agony of not knowing. We know that it ends with Easter. We have an advantage over those disciples, a power that continues beyond our earthly circumstances that is ours in that Easter promise. And we know, not only then, but we know from this account in John's Gospel of the power of God to raise from the dead. We know about the power that is ours in a risen Christ who sends forth his Spirit to enliven, to bring hope and love, to challenge us to discipleship, even in times of discouragement. And we will celebrate that in just 1 week. Palm Sunday prompts and challenges us today to celebrate and remember the reality that Jesus is King. Even as we are well aware of what lies ahead for our Lord, not to ignore the pain and suffering and grief, but to gather together, to experience resurrection together in community, to seek God together in prayer, and to be renewed in Christ's Spirit. Let us then claim the joy of Palm Sunday this day, even as we enter into the events of Holy Week. Let us enter into this week rejoicing in the power of Jesus as King for us, and reflect on the implication that it has for our own lives. For truly great is the power of our God, and greatly to be praised. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith this morning in the affirmation of faith from the Confession of 1967. The kingdom represents the triumph of God over all that resists God's will and disrupts God's creation. Already, God's reign is present as a ferment in the world, stirring hope and preparing the world to receive its ultimate judgment and redemption. Amen. I would like to invite forward the Wadia family for Miriam's baptism this day. I think they want to get.
In just a moment.
In just a moment. We're waiting for Masara.
So how's it going, everybody?
Oh, we're waiting for Miriam.
Of our Lord Jesus Christ, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and sure of his presence with us, we baptize those who he has called to be his own. In Jesus Christ, God promises to forgive our sins and has joined us together in the family of faith, which is his church. He has delivered us from darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In Jesus Christ, God promises to be our Father and to welcome us as brothers and sisters in Christ. Know that the promises of baptism are for you. By baptism, God has put his sign on you to show that you belong to him and gives you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that through Christ's reconciling work, we also will share in his victory, that dying to Christ in sin, in Christ to sin, we will be raised to new life.
Matham and Veen, and presenting Miriam for baptism, you announce your own faith in Jesus Christ and show that you want her to study Jesus, know him, love him, and serve him as a chosen disciple. Show your purpose by answering these questions. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Yes.
Do you trust in him?
Do you intend Miriam to be his disciple, to obey his word, and to show his love?
And this question is addressed to the congregation. Our Lord Jesus Christ ordered us to teach those who are baptized. Do you, the people of the church, promise to tell this new disciple, Miriam, the good news of the gospel to help her know all that Christ commands, and by your fellowship to strengthen her family with the household of God? If so, say we do.
We do.
Let us pray. God of grace, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament and the hope we have in your Son, Jesus. As we baptize with water, baptize us also with the Holy Spirit, so that what we say may be your word and what we do may be your work. By your power, make all things new in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Can I see this little baby? Good timing. Dean and Nathan, what is the Christian name of this child? What's her full name? What's her middle name?
Talal.
Miriam Nathan Talal. Child of God. Child of the covenant, baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May God bless you and keep you this day and every day. Amen.
Amen.
Miriam, you are now welcomed and received into the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the Church of God throughout the world. Look at the amazing love God has for us in this little child. The first American born in this family, who's come from war-torn Iraq, through Syria as refugees, and to our country, and to our city, and to our church. And now we too have become part of this family as we welcome her, as we make promises to teach her about Jesus, to share life together with her, to love her and help her grow. She's checking you all out. May we reflect again this day on the joy and gift that God gives to us of grace that comes to us in the form of a little child. God bless you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your infinite mercy and goodness has promised that you will be not only our God, but also the God and parent of our children, we humbly pray for your child, Miriam, that your spirit may be upon her and dwell in her forever. Take her, we entreat you, under your care and protection. Guide her and bless her in body and soul. Grant her to grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and all people. Abundantly enrich her with your heavenly grace. Bring her safely through the perils of childhood. Deliver her from the temptations of youth. And lead her to witness a good confession and to persevere unto the end. O God, our Creator, give unto your servants, Matham and Veen, to whom you have given this blessed trust, the assurance of your unfailing providence and care. Guide them with your counsel as they teach and train Miriam and Masara, and help them to lead their household into an ever-increasing knowledge of Christ and a more steadfast obedience to his will. We commend to your godly care all the children and families of this congregation. Help us in our homes to honor you and by our love to serve one another and our neighbor. And to your name be all blessing and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome into this congregation and community of God's presence. Amen.
Amen.
You want to carry the present home?
after church, okay?
We move from the font to the table. Scripture says that they will come from north and south, east and west, and gather together in the kingdom and sit down at the table. This table is set by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not a Presbyterian table. It does not belong to this church or particular members of this church, but it is open to all who put their faith in Jesus and seek to follow him in their lives. We remember that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, or the risen Lord, when he was at table, took bread, and he broke it, and his friends saw him. Their eyes were opened. They saw his presence among them. At this table, we pray that we might also experience and remember and see the presence of Jesus in our midst.
Please join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. Holy God, you have given us this table as a remembrance of you, to empower us for the ways in which you call us to live in our world. As we gather around this table this day, this holy Palm Sunday, this day of baptism and celebration, may these very common elements be set aside of the bread and the cup to your holy use, that they might be life for us as we seek to follow you. Bless now these gifts, that they might be for us your holy presence in our lives, your renewing power, your transforming love. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Hear the words of institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. After blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same way, after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of our Lord until he shall come again." The gifts of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. Holy and eternal God, we pray to you today, giving thanks that you have led us and fed us throughout our whole lives long and even up to this day. And in this hour and at this table, we give you thanks for your continued love and grace for us, shown forth in your Son, Jesus Christ, who comes to us, who teaches us, who calls us. Lord, we give you thanks for the life we have to live, the opportunity to be your disciples and to seek to follow you with our lives and in our life together as your church. O Lord, send us out from this place nourished in soul and in body, built up in our faith, encouraged to face all that we have ahead of us in this week. God, may we go from this place knowing that we belong to you, your disciples, young and old. May we go knowing that you go with us. You lead our way into this holy week, into the hard events that will come, even as we wait with hope for the joy of Easter. Guide us through this week ahead, we pray, all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Blessed are we who came in the name of the Lord. Blessed are we when we have the opportunities to be witnesses to our faith. The gifts we will offer to the ministers of our congregation are ways in which we can joyfully proclaim our belief in a better world.